slick now, it gets me up, it gets me going like you and me, and away we stick together, quite the pair together. Who says life ain't fair? I'm as happy as a clam in a bed of sand, waiting for you. Come dig it, dig it, dig it, dig it, dig it, dig me up, now dig me down. Pick me up, swing me around, got me in a bit, and put me in a pot. Now drink me in your coffee while I'm still high.
My vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts, it's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub.
It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tenny flew right out. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
I love you. I love you like the earth loves the sun, because your loving rays reach me day after day, no matter how far away we are from each other and mother. Your strength in me is like gravity, allowing me the freedom to be my own, but keeping me in orbit so as to not spiral into an eternity of empty space. And I can't thank you enough for facing the pain of delivering the giant freaking watermelon that is me. I'm huge, and I'm sorry. But gestational diabetes was your diagnosis, and too close for comfort the doctor's prognosis, so no more brothers and sisters were to come after me. Kind of a final warning, like a caution sign, but instead of reading that the one you wrote ahead might end abruptly, it was your life I was trying to warn you about. Without even knowing it, I was showing you that God loves you too much to watch you eat your pain away. I love you. So much that for me to say something like this to you is like tearing my heart out and gluing it beside a dartboard, hoping these words will miss their target, because I would rather my heart get hurt than yours, for I'm so afraid that yours cannot take the weight. And I can no longer negate the fact that when I see you painfully struggle to strain every single muscle to its core just to get to the floor where you can play with your grandkids somewhere, it hurts me to watch. I finally understand this is gonna hurt me more than you. I finally understand the pain I put you through while I was crystallizing my mind, sending home nothing but lies, whys, and why nots that must have turned your stomach into a pot of burning ashes. But you never cast your chips in on me. And that's what made me see that I could smash that glass bubble so full of smoke I couldn't even see myself. Now it's your help that has you pricking your skin 3 times a day for a computer to save a level. If your levels are okay, food, it is an addiction too. May 12th, 1978, your gestational warning ended and my life began. And for 30 years, day and night, you ran prayers into heaven like railroad spikes, trying to keep me on the right track. Now that prayer train's come back full circle, and all it's asking is that you have the strength to ride the rails with me. So I never have to say this to an early avoidable grave. You can save yourself. Just think of your health and the wealth of lifelong living versus giving in, because this earth isn't ready to live without us. You're my sunshine, my bread, my shelter, my wine. Amongst all the stars combined, you are the one who finds me, defines the lines of what I have relied on to refine the rhymes in my mind over time and residing inside of me and my voice. It's you. You're the one who taught me how to use it. Beautifully, truthfully, willfully, undeniably, beautifully, unequivocally, and eternally, my mystery gravity, pulling me back to see where I've come from and where I might be going, knowing that you're my mother. I love you.
Thank you. Good evening. You're listening to Audio Text. This is Julie Peters and a little Oscar Peterson trio in the background. Guess what's coming up this weekend? It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So I thought I'd do a little, I like themes, so I thought I'd do a little sort of mother themed show today. And that poem that you heard right at the beginning was by Steve Miller, who's a poet in Vancouver. And he was recently competing in the finals for one of the spots in the Vancouver Poetry Slam team. So that was his poem. And I have a few other mother themed poems for you today. I did ask my mom if she had a favorite poem or something that she wanted me to read on the show, and she said, no, everything you do is great, because she's a great mom, and that's what moms do, which is lovely. But we'll get more to those mother-themed poems in a minute. First, I want to do an interview that I did when I went to the BC Magazine and Book Fair Festival a couple of weekends ago. I just was speaking to a few people that were there, a few of the publications that were involved, and I was really interested in particular, this one, Crow Toes, and it sort of fits into Mother's Day because it's a children's magazine, and I'm hoping to get some more information from those guys and talk to them in the future. So coming up right away, here's that interview. So can you tell me a bit about Vancouver Review?
Well, we're a cultural magazine focused on BC, so that's quite broad. We're sort of literary arts culture from a big picture perspective, and we come out quarterly, so we like to present visuals. You know, as you can see, it's quite a visual magazine here. And but we also have excellent writing from both emerging and established writers. So that's what we do, and our focus really is BC culture or the BC perspective on issues. You know, for example, Terry Glavin being a very BC writer, very well known for writing about BC, but in this case, in our most recent issue, he went to Afghanistan and reports on Kabul. It's kind of a letter from Kabul kind of piece. But then we also have things that are very, very focused on the local scene, such as Timothy Taylor's piece about food culture here in Vancouver in particular, so somewhat critical piece about that.
Great, so it's poetry, fiction, nonfiction.
Yeah, exactly. Creative nonfiction, fiction, poetry, book reviews. We have sort of sharp commentary pieces. Exactly.
Great, and so you're the editor.
I am.
Yeah, and how's that been for you? Are you a writer yourself?
Yes, I have a journalism background for the most part, and literary degree. So I'm combining those interests, particularly like creative nonfiction. So that's what I focus on. Our fiction editor handles our fiction these days, which is called Blueprint BC Fiction. So yeah.
And how is it being a part of the BC Book and Magazine Fair?
It's great. It just gets us out to the public a little bit more. As we all know, newsstand is a tough sell these days. It's hard to sell books, magazines, anything in print. And this just makes people aware that we're out there and finds us new subscribers, that kind of thing. Gets us to engage with our readership.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to CITR today.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about yourself and the publication that we're talking about today.
Well, my name is Christopher Millen, and I publish a children's literature magazine called Crow Toes Quarterly. It's for kids 9 and up. We like to say 9 and up because adults love it just as much as children do. It's loaded with short stories, artwork, and poetry by mostly Canadian authors and artists. We've been very lucky. All of our covers have been done by local artists. Christians does a lot of our covers here. And we're heading into our 10th issue right now, and we've been going for about 2.5 years. So, yeah. We're based out of Richmond.
And how did you get involved?
Well, I began Crow Toes Quarterly after after school. It was a project in school, and after doing a little research, I came to realize there really isn't a market for this type of literature, because the literature, we describe it as playfully dark.
Yeah.
So it's quirky, and it's clever, and it's intelligent, and it's kind of what's popular with kids today, which the mainstream doesn't realize, kind of thing. The Lemony Snicket and the Harry Potter. It kind of more like that. I had a little success. I had a book published a couple years ago called The King of Arugula, and it was a middle reader. And I thought, you know what? I've had my book published. I have a lot of writer friends who have a hard time finding a home for their writing. And there's so many talented authors and artists out there, and I just felt I needed a forum for that because nobody else was doing it. And we've been very lucky. The support has been amazing from the writing and art communities. So, yeah.
Great.
Right, so the subtitle of the publication is The New Face of Children's Lit. How is that different from the old face of Children's Lit?
Well, the old face is fluffy bunnies and unicorns and happy stuff and no mention of anything dark and creepy. And we like to think we're not that. We're definitely not that. We are, as I mentioned, playfully dark. We deal with topics like, you know, we deal with the monsters under the bed and the skeletons in the closet. And it's ultimately, after traveling around with this, we know that that's what kids want to hear. You know, they want to hear about those monsters and the skeletons. And yes, they want to know that it'll be all right in the end, but they like the trip to the end. So as, no matter how scary it is. So.
What's going on in the most recent issue?
Well, the most recent issue is great because it's our first issue that we've actually devoted the issue to. Created a cover and a theme for the issue, and the theme is superheroes and not just the superheroes with the capes and the capes and the tights and whatnot, but the superhero, the everyday superhero who goes out and does amazing things even though they just look like a little kid and whatnot. And we had a great story. One of our characters that showed up in our very first issue, his name was Rupert Greenwood, and he was a little boy who celebrated Christmas every single day of the year. So we decided. Our writer came back and he said, I've written a sequel. So we decided to devote the issue to this Rupert character. And we had an artist illustrate throughout the story, throughout the book. And it was a very complete issue. And it was all about Super Rupert and his turn as a superhero. And it was very, very cool. Very cool. And that's what's in stores right now. So.
Great. So how's it been being a part of the BC Book and Magazine Festival? Have you been here before?
Yes. This is actually my fourth year here and my third year with Crotoes. And it's always been very interesting. Before it's been on Sundays, so it's been a little slower, but this year on a Saturday it's been fantastic. We brought one of our artists down, so he was drawn in a lot of interest, and we find the interest from the people at the library is great. So it's been very good, and it's a good experience, and it's great to share the amazing products that come out of BC, which I think a lot of people don't realize are BC products at times, and magazines and books. So, yeah.
Yeah, the art on the covers is really quite eye-catching. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, we love our artists, and we've been very lucky to find artists who also love what we're doing, and so they've been very supportive of us and very friendly with their paintings. So we've been very lucky to have somebody like Christian Adam, who's been able to provide us the covers that we feel fit our magazine. So yeah, and that's what we go for. That's what we go for.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to CITR today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I swear to God, I'm not wearing just my underwear right now. This is Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Ditto from The Gossip, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
No, yeah, this is the best thing in the world. You guys are going to be blown away.
Soothing, subtle, and strange. Relaxing, reposeful, and a bit rogue. Get ready for Barnyard Records recording artists on tour from Toronto. The unlikely trio of Jean Martin on Suitcase, Justin Haynes on ukulele, and Ryan Driver on the street sweeper bristle bass, playing the lyric and melodic music of composer Mike Friedman. Friday, May 8th at 8 p.m. at the Western Front, 303 East 8th Avenue.
So just before that little break there, you were listening to my interview with Gudrun Will, the editor of Vancouver Review, and Christopher Millen from Crotoes Quarterly. Hopefully we'll have more from both of those publications in the future on the show. So a couple of listings, some things happening around this lovely city of Vancouver. Tonight is Wednesday, May 6th, and from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Molly Nye House, which is 940 Lynn Valley Road in North Vancouver. It's an event called Dare to be Heard, and it's basically just writers of all genres coming together to just share their writing because they feel like it, which sounds like a pretty awesome community thing to be a part of. So if you're in that area, go check that out.
Happening May 10th, this Sunday, also Mother's Day. Also, apparently, my yoga teacher told me, the most powerful full moon of the year, so be prepared to have a bit of a crazy weekend, is the Story Slam, the Vancouver Story Slam at Café du Soleil. It starts around 8 p.m. I think the cover charge is about $5, so that's at Commercial Drive and 5th. And on May 11th, there's also the Vancouver Poetry Slam, Anarchy Slam. Featuring Leif Norman, and the Anarchy Slam should be a fun one because they basically break all the rules of the slam that there usually are, and normally we do have a nudity rule implemented, so we'll see how that goes on the Anarchy Slam when all the rules are broken. Hopefully we'll get some naked poets up on stage. It'll be great. So, coming up next, I'm going to play for you a couple more mother-themed poems. As I said, my mom didn't make any requests for me this week, so I thought I'd just pick the mom-themed poems that I could find. Unfortunately, apparently, not everyone's mom is as cool as mine is, so here are a few poems about other people's moms that are not mine. This is Isabel Ram.
Mother. On my 14th birthday, you bought me a bathroom scale. And inside my card, you wrote, "Every woman needs one. It'll keep the men around." Mother, I had no interest in being a woman at 14. Mother, I had no interest in men. Yet each morning, you dragged me out of bed, balancing me onto that scale to make sure I didn't weigh more than I should. Mother. On the fridge, you made a chart that declared the value of my skin and bones. You didn't let me play piano anymore because you had this theory. You said the piano keys would remind me of teeth, and teeth would remind me of eating. Mother, I stopped painting my lips tickled pink. Instead, I started painting them alarm red, but you still couldn't see that I was frightened. Mother, I dragged your wine glasses into my skin because I wanted to taste your elegance, but even that was cheating. Mother, I set fire to my hair, and from your eyes the water poured. From your eyes the water poured. Mother, I went to the doctor, and he wrote me a prescription, but I did not take it. Instead, I climbed onto the chair and pulled seashells off of the wallpaper, tucking them into my pockets. I told him, "Don't worry, these will be enough." And I left that place without looking back.
So that was Isabel Ram. She's a young poet involved in the Vancouver Poetry Slam, and she actually recently got herself a spot on the Vancouver Youth Poetry Slam team. Next, I'm going to play a piece by Brendan McLeod, who is a Vancouver writer, a novelist, singer-songwriter. He's in a couple of bands. He actually just had a show this past weekend at Café du Soleil with Derek Brown and Julian Bentley. So here's his poem, sort of about his mom.
Girlfriend used to come home to the holidays with me, and that was awesome because she kind of like kept like, she was like, oh, because she only sees them like not that much, and she's like, hey, and then they pay attention to her, and then I kind of get to do my own thing. And so I kind of was writing this song about like having to deal with them without her, which was bad, but it's a funny song. It's okay. I'm not like, oh, I broke up, what the fuck. I wish we'd gotten engaged. I wish we'd gotten engaged. Had that ring upon your finger. You could wear it through to old age. And I'd have someone to count on, like you could count on me. And we could have spent the holidays with your part of the family. When I got to the airport, my city's air was cold. My parents brought a jacket, because they think that I'm not old enough to dress myself. Then a puzzle, then some Scrabble, then bingo, then taboo, then hearts, then peanut, then more Scrabble, then more bingo, then more hearts, then more taboo, then charades, then Family Feud, then the Great Canadian Trivia Game. Question, do you know what the longest running Canadian TV series is? Does anyone actually know that? Beachcombers, who said that? Yeah, alright, you win like a smile. My little brothers are like, what's the Beachcombers? And my parents are like, questions about why we broke up. My mom is like, did you want kids? Did you not want kids? Did she want kids? Did you not want kids? Were you like making time for each other? Did she get sick of the furniture? You should have loved her more. Children. Three darling children. I'm like, Mom, how do you know they're darling? You've never even met Robert Munch's children. She's like, you know who else's children I've ever met? Yours.
We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the Blue Room of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, the three-minute masterpiece, and the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Did you enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swell record. I must get it. What's his number?
All right, we have just a couple of minutes left in the show, and so I'm going to be reading some poetry, as I always do. I like selecting a different Canadian poet each week and just reading a few of the poems so that you guys can get a sense of the incredible variety of Canadian writing in our world. I do enjoy my spoken word, and I give that to you guys a lot too, but sometimes it's nice to read some real page poetry. It's a bit of a stretch on the theme, really, because the poet that I'm going to read today, whose name is Peter Yeager, happens to be my mom's cousin. So it sort of fits in with the mom theme today. But Peter's poetry has nothing to do with moms, at least what I'm going to be reading today. I'm going to be reading from his book Eckhart Cars, and it's published by Salt. And he is the type of poet who likes to experiment with words and use words to make a comment about language rather than about the thing that he's actually trying to say. So as you listen to these pieces, just try not to worry too much about what the poem is about or what it's trying to say. Just get a sense of what the words sound like and what they're sort of doing to your brain as you hear this stuff. So let's see. The first one that I'll read will be called Extension of Standard Practice. At least for those who hope for overthrow, huge resources, days after the attack, easily forgotten energy supplies and strategies, ensuring uninhibited access. If reactions are unpredictable, if used as a base in an effort to achieve in army manuals, in fact, it wasn't even reported, is likely to increase key markets, major drug trafficking outlet, major energy reserves, many people like you and me, maybe worse, official doctrine, often on a shocking scale. Should the CIA, should the U.S. soft target specialist on the region, strong internal radical, that's not the CIA, unilateralism, volatile is right, Washington is stepping, Washington might determine, we must remember what is at stake, what is called low-intensity warfare, with ardent wishes, with credible evidence, with no objection, with official definition, without let-up. So that one, actually, it's helpful to know that that was written around the time of 9/11, or sort of the aftermath of 9/11. So there was a lot of that kind of jargon going around. So the next one I'm going to read, probably won't have a chance to read the whole thing, but it's called Midwest. Credits gloat, never dearth, do the seared gain of sifting, you lurch on tick, lending a stoop for hire, lesser than teasing crime, hi-fi moods, attunes, insolvent night. The skiff of flailing loud and saturation, slack, flinted floods the yucky good, if fluted woods recast a spin, content to poke no sight and rag absorbing binding, strings of animal families are at last, slaking a penny on my banking as the clanly faces seed asleep. I grow a backup blameless. I bark the place a beached out driver, further rates, case on, biz blight, chastened row of freight, flaunting, bummer fare, Pacific list, misers is as un, by maples, horses, cast a mix until they catalog, rest, masked, could they bow, count as hurdles, cross your heart and hope to die, on bold reductions, legends debit, run up a hill, grazing receptive as whims. Did they minus your display, relentless bruise if driving ever fans a book on the Tupperware fades, facts of landed hung with flake, who in cancellation, they from whims, here is now again as Mart's Hall food, how they shine and how could they not? A husk of wolf at the door, I hate them and lie in lifted deuce, renting the lern with its lore of roiling flophouse shredder lease. Let us butter fingers, length of their parting, tax is prompt fallow, a happiness manufactured. Will we still hate them? Purely nabbed again, mended for flicker or mess from another, how of gun, 10-4 lending, bland mark on lessons fluster, you on price, highway, or will we still lie? You may surely stay pacing a river, the all per day, sun elides, pertains to wheat, where place bought places, craving just a prayer in malls. So that was part of the poem Midwest by Peter Yeager from his book Eckhart Cars. I hope you enjoyed listening to that and all the other poetry I had going on the show today. If you do have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything that you want to send to me, please do email me at audiotechcitr@gmail.com, and I'll leave you with a little more of Oscar Peterson's trio.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.